Please turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. After preaching on love every Sunday last year, you probably thought I couldn't come up with another sermon on the subject of love. But here we are. The title of the message is Maximizing Our Efficiency, and that is kind of an umbrella title to a number of messages that we'll be continuing with through the book of Romans. And today we consider this, just this short little sentence in the beginning of verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. So let's find out what that is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege it is to open this book and to consider the things that you have said. You made this simple statement, but it is profound. So as we digest it this day, I pray that you will give us understanding and in that understanding, know how to apply it to our lives. Help us in this study by your Holy Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. In the 1970s, I was driving a car that got 10 miles to a gallon. I traded it in for a car that got 30 miles to a gallon. I would say that was a more efficient use of our funds. And our children were small then, of course, and we needed those extra funds to pay for things like food and clothes for our children. A lot of Christians expend a lot of energy, but do not accomplish very much. Their lives aren't very efficient. They may have a lot to say about a lot of things, have very strong opinions. But when it comes to spiritual efficiency, if I could use the metaphor of miles per gallon, they only produce about 10 good works per page in the Bible as opposed to 30 good works per page in the Bible. They're doing some good things, but not as much as they could. If we're going to redeem the time, then we must maximize our efficiency and make better use of our spiritual resources. We're going to look at a number of those spiritual resources in this chapter, but today, this one. Love without dissimulation. Let's talk about this word love as we find it here in this verse of Scripture. It's not talking about how we feel towards each other. There is a place for emotions and, might we say, affection in our relationships. And that will be noted in verse 10, if you see, be kindly affectioned one to another. But there's a difference between this word love in verse 9 and the term kindly affectioned in verse 10. That's why you have two different statements. Let love be without dissimulation. Be kindly affectioned one toward another with brotherly love. Love is that word agape, you've heard of it, that Greek word agape, meaning a selfless and sacrificial commitment to do whatever is necessary to improve the lives of others. A selfless and sacrificial commitment to do whatever is necessary to improve the lives of others, which is exactly what God did in loving us. the term kindly affection, is that affection one experiences in family structure between husband and wife, between parents and children, between brothers and sisters. And we'll talk about that next week. But this love is our devotion to someone, our commitment, our determination to help, to improve, to preserve the life of someone else. This is the way God loved us and continues to love us. In every instance of the scripture telling us that God loves us, the result is always some benefit to our lives. John 3:16, God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, you know that verse, but God commendeth his love toward us. In the following two verses, it tells us that as a result of Christ dying for us while we were yet sinners, in the commendation of God's love, we are justified by his blood, we are saved from wrath, and we are reconciled and saved by his life. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, you may recall this verse, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me. Why can I live this life in faith? Because Christ loved me and gave himself for me. Ephesians 5, 2, walk in love as Christ also loved us. We can walk in love because he did love us. And in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27, Christ loved the church. Why? So that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Yes. There are many benefits to our lives because God loved us. To say to someone, I love you so much, really puts the focus on yourself. How you feel. But to say to someone, I love you so, or I love you in this way, shows that my primary concern is how you are benefiting from this relationship and places the focus on others instead of on yourself. That's what we have in John 3:16. God loved the world so. I know the way the words are arranged. God so loved the world, but God loved the world so is the same thing. Because it's not saying God loved the world so much. That word so in John 3:16 means in this manner. God in this manner loved the world. He focused on us with his love, and we are to focus on others in honor of what he has done for us. But in this verse, it says, let love, this selfless sacrificial love, be without dissimulation. Now, that's not a word we use a lot in everyday language. The Greek word behind dissimulation is something we're very familiar with. It's the word hypocrite or hypocrisy. Hypocrites in ancient Greek and Rome were stage actors. As such, they were not what they appeared to be because they were always wearing masks and costumes. When the word hypocrite was originally being used among the Greeks, it was not used in the sense of deceiving, but someone said this back in ancient Greece. Here's a quotation from some of the Greeks. The stage is a sham world, and actors are deceivers, wearing a mask, pretending to be something they are not. And suddenly the word hypocrite came to mean that people in real life sometimes pretend to be something they are not. Now, in this text, Romans chapter 12 and verse 9, they took the word hypocrite and added the letter A in front of it and reversed the meaning of the word. Instead of hypocrite, the word here in the text is not a hypocrite. Let your love be not with hypocrisy. You can add a prefix on a word and reverse its meaning. For example, we have the word moral in the English language, and we add a prefix, I-M, and turn and reverse the very meaning of the word moral into immoral. You can reverse the meaning of a word simply with a prefix, and that's what they did with this word hypocrite. And so he says, let your love be without hypocrisy. Now let's look at this word, this English word, dissimulation, because there's a reason this word was used in the translation. The root word of dissimulation is to simulate. To simulate is to make something that is not real seem like the real thing. Pilots practice on simulators. They make these cockpits on a kind of a platform that moves, and they put these pilots in these simulators, and every sensation they have in this simulator is identical to what they will experience in the air. And of course, with the screens, they simulate being in the sky and all of that. But the benefit of the simulator is if they make a mistake and crash, they won't get injured. But the thing about that kind of simulation is they know it's not the real thing. The word dissimulate takes the word simulating to another level. To dissimulate means to simulate in a deceptive way so as to hide the fact that it is not the real thing. It means to conceal one's true feelings and intentions, to feign, to pretend. There's an example in the Bible regarding dissimulated love back in 2 Samuel chapter 13. Would you go there, please? Second Samuel chapter 13, verse 1, it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 2. Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab. Verse 4. And this friend, Jonadab, said unto him, why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. So Jonadab had an idea. He tells Amnon in verse 5 to pretend to be sick and lay on his bed, and they will call David and ask him to send Tamar to minister to his needs as a sick man. So that's what he does in verse 6. And in verse 7, David sends Tamar. We come to verse 8. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down, and she took flour and kneaded it and made cakes in his sight and did bake the cakes. Now, remember, in those days there would be a fireplace in every room. That would not only provide heat, but a means of cooking as well in each room or set of apartments. But then a horrible thing took place. Amnon took advantage of Tamar and abused her. And after he had done that, his emotions changed extremely. And in verse 15, if you look, then Amnon hated her exceedingly. Wait a minute, I thought he loved her. Well, he loved her enough to dissimulate. To pretend to be sick. He was pretending he loved her. He only lusted after her. He didn't love her at all. And he told the servant to throw her out and lock the door in verse 17. Amnon's love for Tamar was with dissimulation, with deception, and with pretending. And young ladies should beware. There are young men out there just like that who will tell you they love you, but it's with dissimulation. They really don't. In our English Bible, Romans chapter 12 and verse 9, you see the word without. Remember I told you in the Greek they took the word hypocrisy and put a letter, put a prefix on front of it and made it not with hypocrisy. In the English, they made the prefix a separate word. The prefix is without. And so we have this, without dissimulation. Let your love be without dissimulation. In other words, number one, instead of pretending you care about the welfare of others, when all you really care about is yourself, let your love be with out dissimulation. This is what some people do. They pretend they care about you, they care about your welfare, when all they really care about is themselves. I think Solomon became like this. If you'll look over in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, or chapter 2, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 1. He says this, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 1. I said in mine heart, go to, now I will prove thee with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure. Verse 3. I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly. Notice the pattern of his words beginning in verse 4. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. I made me, verse 6, pools of water. Verse 7, I got me servants and maidens. Verse 9, I gathered me silver and gold. Verse That was verse 8. Verse 9, so I was great. And verse 10, whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy. But here was the result in verse 11. After all that consumption for himself, then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Now, in this context, thinking in this context, go over to 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women. Really? Did he really love them? What was he doing in the meantime? Amassing all the stuff upon himself. It was all about himself. I got me this and I got me that. And in the process, he got him. Verse 3. 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And notice the last statement in verse 2. Solomon clave unto these in love. Really? Do you think Solomon really loved all 1,000 of these women? Do you think he loved 1,000 women with a selfless and sacrificial commitment to do whatever was necessary to improve all of their lives? Really? Do you think so? Do you think Solomon's primary concern was how all these 1,000 were benefiting from this relationship and that he placed his focus on them rather than on himself? Do you think that's what happened here? Or was there some dissimulation in his love? I think. Imagine the prestige of having as your wife every princess of every country all around. Can you imagine 700 countries sending the king's daughter to marry Solomon? Wow. But as a result, his life became one big mess. And he described it this way. Everything was vanity and vexation of spirit. And so don't be like Solomon. Let your love be without dissimulation. Let your love be without pretending and deception. Let your love be real concern for and commitment to the welfare of others instead of yourself. Number two, do not pretend you care about the welfare of others when all you really want to do is obtain or spread juicy information. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Flattery. false praise with an ulterior motive. You are so special. You deserve so much better. Tell me what is troubling you. I just want to pray for you. Really? A talebearer revealeth secrets. She doesn't think you're all that special, and he doesn't want to pray for you. They just want some juicy information so that they can tell your secrets to others. They are flattering you with dissimulation. Don't be like the talebearer. Let your love be without dissimulation. Let your love be without pretending and deception. Let your love be real concern for and commitment to the welfare of others instead of yourself. And number three, do not pretend you care about the welfare of others when all you really care about is getting some advantage for yourself. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 17. Galatians chapter 4, verse 17, they zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you, that ye might affect them. Zealously affect you. Come on really strong, that they really want to help you. Oh, but not well, it says. Because it is with dissimulation, it is pretending and deception. They do not really want to help you. Though they say they want to help you, they seem like they want to help you, sounds like they want to help you, but their real motive is not for them to affect you, but for you to affect or benefit them. And once they get from you what they want, they exclude you. You are no longer necessary. You mean nothing to them anymore. All they care about is what they gained from you. In today's vernacular, we would call it a scam. I was scammed once, many years ago, and in another place. You'll never know where it was. It wasn't in York, and it wasn't since we've lived here. I was driving a car that had a standard transmission, and the clutch went out of it. And so this Christian man offered to fix it for me for a particular fee that would be less than a garage would charge. Great, so I agreed. He took my car, brought it back. It ran fine for 2 weeks. Then the clutch went out again. So this time I took it to a garage. He never fixed the clutch. He only adjusted it so it would work long enough for him to skip town, and that's what he did. He was looking for extra cash because he was planning to move. Don't be like selfish people. Don't let your love be with dissimulation. Let your love be without dissimulation. Let your love be without pretending and deception. Let your love be real concern for and commitment to the welfare of others instead of yourself. I've said it several times. Let me say it one more time so you get it. Let your love be without dissimulation. That is, let your love be without pretending and deception. Let your love be real concern for and commitment to the welfare of others instead of yourself. You will find that approaching life like this will make your Christian life so much more efficiently productive and so much more efficiently glorifying to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this charge. Help us to be genuine, to be real, to be those who love honestly and love others as you have loved us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.